Hey. How was your new year? Wonderful. Anybody do anything stupid?
No.
I ain't getting any calls. From jail. So thank you. I stayed up praying for you all till 11:30 New Year's Eve. Then I went to bed. Because I find the older I am, the more I don't care about it. All right? I find that bedtime and sleep is a very precious commodity. Anybody else? I see one nod over here. My buddy James is nodding. Yeah. Happy New Year, everyone. You're going to be just flooded with New Year nonsense today. And you're thinking, oh, it's like 5 days later. Who cares? Right? Last week, we talked about this issue of spending our light and how we spend our light and where we spend our light in light of who Jesus is. And this week kind of threw me a curveball because I had several different conversations with several different people. And one of them was just talking about the idea of prayer. It was just a real brief conversation, a side note, a brief statement made in a larger conversation. And it was talking about how we individually pray. And listening to how we pray. Has anybody ever done that? The words that come out of your mouth when you speak to God. Have you ever put those under the microscope to hear how actually true to Scripture and the heart of God that they actually are? Or sometimes to hear how selfish we really are? Or sometimes to hear how depressing our lives are continually? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Do you hear? And so this brief conversation was talking about people and how we pray. And you know, just listen to our prayers and how we pray. We're missing it in the larger picture, in the larger scheme of who God is. So then I started saying to myself, this is an interesting thing. Because you read through the Old Testament and you read one moment where David is praising God, right? King David is on a high in those moments. And God is everything. And then you hear the low, depressive David, God, they're trying to kill me. Kill my enemies. Has anybody ever prayed that? Don't lie. God, I just pray that the snow takes them out in a fiery accident on I-80. Am I the only one? Right? Evidently. Yeah, we just won't admit it, right? And so you see some of these bipolar areas, and you really kind of champion David when he gets it right, right? You're like, oh man, he is speaking the truth about who God is and who he is in God. And then you hear the moments where they're not so shiny and he's just asking God to kill everybody around him that he doesn't like, right? Our prayers are very much the same way. So this little brief conversation I have and hear this thing about prayer, it drives me to say, okay, what about my prayers? Let's listen to my prayers. Let's literally hear what I've got to say to God when I open my mouth. And you have the obligatory dinner prayer, right? I pray for every meal. My family prays for every meal. In fact, sometimes my boys are so hungry, they just want to eat once their plate of food is in front of them. They don't care if anybody else is at the table, right? They just want that plate of food. Can I eat now? And my response is, have you thanked God for what you have? And the prayer usually goes something like this. Thank you, God, for this food. Thank you for mom, dad, brother. Thank you for my Nintendo. It's a cool thing to be thankful for, I guess. Thank you for my friends. Or if you have prayers that come out of my mouth, it's very much the, you know, God, thank you for this day. Thank you for a house and heat in the winter. Or if it's summer, I'm praying to God to give me air conditioning. Whoever said Laramie doesn't need air conditioning, they're lying, okay? Right? Yeah. And so I catch myself, and then I catch myself when I pray for my LTG, my life transformation group. Sometimes I set a reminder on my phone. So every morning at 8:30, my phone goes off and it says, pray for your LTG. And in the memo of this reminder, it tells me the people that I need to be praying for. There are days where I take my finger and clear it. This is the reality of it, right? This is the reality of it. I ain't got time to talk to God. I don't have time to pray for these people. And the names of these people that are on this list, they are lost people, meaning they don't ascribe to Jesus. And Adam, in his glory, says, I'll pray for him tomorrow. Whoa. Whoa. So we have to look at this issue of prayer in this new year, this God dream that we're trying to achieve, how we are as people, how we regard God, and how we speak with Him, how we converse with Him. And I'm not telling you there's things that you shouldn't be praying for. Pray for patience. Go ahead, do it right now. And be prepared. Yeah, be prepared to wait. Right? I'm not telling you there's things that you shouldn't bring to God or talk to God about or anything, but if you listen to the bulk of our prayer, myself, ranting on myself here, a lot of it just doesn't glorify. It doesn't put God in the right light of who He is, how He sees me, how I see humanity as I even pray for them, or not, swipe clear. We've got to look at this. So God led me to a Franciscan monk. His name's St. Francis. Anybody heard of him? St. Francis of Assisi. He was an Italian Catholic friar, deacon, and preacher. He founded the Men's Order of Friars Minor. Everybody's familiar with that, I'm guessing, right? And the Women's Order of St. Clare, the Third Order of St. Francis, and the Custody of the Holy Land. Everybody's hip with St. Francis? You all knew that? And in that, you can go and you can look up these St. Francis' prayers. And so I go and I start reading, and there's a lot that they kind of break it up in sections, spirituality, you know, life, family, death. And they have these certain prayers for certain things. And I start reading through them, and I just start being broken for how he prayed. For the things that were in his mind and heart that came out as he spoke with God. And we're blessed to have these writings and that they've written these things down. Now, what can happen is these can become rote, right? Anybody know the Lord's Prayer? I went to a family, and they said, Adam, would you like to pray? And I said, yes, and I started praying like I do at our gatherings. And they're looking at me like, no. The Lord's Prayer. And me being a pastor's kid, I said, I haven't memorized that. Right? And so their whole family then gets around the table and joins hands, and they start reciting the Lord's Prayer. Well, what I find is they did that every night. There was nothing outside of that prayer that they prayed. Pretty interesting, huh? That was the bulk of their prayer relationship. Just like these prayers of St. Francis, if we take them word for word and we just recite them day in and day out, probably going to lose a little bit of its meaning. We're going to start swiping and clearing that message, aren't we? In our minds, in our hearts. But I started reading these, and I was sitting in my living room, and I was reading to my wife. She loves it when I do that. And I said, listen to the richness of these prayers. Listen to the richness of what's being said. And I start reading, and she said, I said, man, I want my prayers to be like that. And she said, well, my wife's a very practical person. She said, well, are those things in your heart? I said, I'm going to go to bed now. I'm not talking to you ever again. She said, are those things in your heart? Because if they are, you're going to be praying in that way. And not in the same verbiage, not in the same manner, but in the same context, in the same way, seeing God rightly. That broke me. So now I'm wrestling with that. And God continues to point me to this Franciscan prayer of St. Francis and just say, look, read these. See where I'm at. And I'm not saying he's cornered the market on how to pray. I'm not saying he's the best prayer in the world. But I am saying he's given me things to think about as I pray. And so this morning, we're going to pray. We're going to pray the words of St. Francis. Some of you that have left the Catholic Church are like, oh, crap, I can't get away from this, right? We're going to pray the words of St. Francis. And there's three or four different prayers that I've chosen. And I've put them in order. And it starts with the Lord's Prayer, but it unpacks the Lord's Prayer in such a beautiful way. You ready? How do you pray normally at your home? Or in your bedroom? Or in your closet? Do you have a prayer closet like Scripture talks about? It's kind of weird, isn't it? How do you guys pray? I want you to pray that way today. Whether it's relaxing in your seat, take a deep breath. Position yourself in a nice, comfortable position that you won't fall asleep. Or start checking Pinterest. Caleb. He loves Pinterest, that guy. He's crazy. That's a lie. That's a joke. You guys do need coffee, okay? Get in a comfortable position, and we're just going to pray these words. You don't have to say anything. I'm going to read them. And I want you to pay attention to what's being said, and I want you to be paying attention to how God is being spoken of, how our response to what God needs us to be doing, as Larry was talking about, the year of doing, our response, what our response should be, what God's response is to us. Be paying attention to that. And I want you to start seeing your prayers side by side. Is this how I am? Am I regarding God in the same way? You ready? Here we go. Our Father, most holy, our Creator and Redeemer, our Savior and Consoler, who are in heaven, in the angels and saints, enlightening them that they may know you. For you, Lord, are love, dwelling in them and filling them with your divinity, that bliss may be theirs. For you, Lord, are the highest good, the eternal good, from whom all goodness flows, without whom nothing is good. Your name be held holy. May our knowledge of you shine ever more clearly within us, that we may perceive the breadth of your blessing, the extent of your promises, the height of your majesty, the depths of your judgments. Your kingdom come. Rule us now through grace. And bring us at last to your kingdom of light, where we shall see you as you are. And our love for you will be made perfect. Our union blissful, our joy unending in you. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. May we love you with all our heart, ever thinking of you with all our soul, ever longing for you with all our mind, directing all our aims at you and seeking nothing but your glory. With all our strength, spending all our energies and all our senses of soul and body to serve only your love and nothing else. May we love our neighbors as ourselves, drawing them all to your love insofar as we can, sharing their good fortune as if it were our own, helping them to bear their trials and doing them no wrong. Give us this day our daily bread, your beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, that we may remember, understand, and revere the love he showed for us and all he said and did and suffered for our sake. Forgive us our sins through your mercy beyond words, through the power of the passion of your beloved Son, through the merits and intercessions of all your chosen ones. As we forgive those who sin against us, and that we ourselves cannot fully forgive, make us fully forgive. Make us love our enemies. Truly, for your sake, teach us how to pray sincerely to you on their behalf. And not to render harm for harm to anyone, but rather try to do good to all in you. And lead us not into temptation, whether veiled or visible, sudden or searing and prolonged, but deliver us from evil, past, present, and to come. Lord God, you alone are holy. You who work wonders. You are strong. You are great. You are the Most High. You are the Almighty King. You are Holy Father, King of heaven and earth. Lord, you are three and you are one. You are goodness, all goodness. You are the highest good. Lord God, living and true. You are love and charity. You are wisdom. You are humility. You are patience. You are beauty. You are sweetness. You are safety. You are rest. You are joy. You are our hope and our delight. You are justice. You are moderation. You are all our wealth and riches overflowing. You are beauty. You are gentleness. You are our shelter, our guard, and our defender. You are strength. You are refreshment. You are hope. You are our faith. You are our love. You are our complete consolation. You are our life everlasting, great and wonderful Lord, all-powerful God, merciful Savior. Almighty, eternal, just and merciful God, grant us in our misery the grace to do for your sake alone what we know you want us to do, and always to desire what pleases you, thus inwardly cleansed, interiorly enlightened, and inflamed by the fire of the Holy Spirit, we may be able to follow in the footprints of your beloved Son. Our Lord Jesus. And so make our way to you, Most High, by your grace alone, who live and reign in perfect Trinity and in simple unity, one all-powerful God, forever and ever. Lord, make us an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let us show love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O divine Master, grant that we may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving that we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life. Amen. Did you catch the richness? Did you perhaps catch the disparity of your own prayer life? I know I did, over and over. And it's interesting because the things I find I pray for, a lot of times, they're things that I want to change my immediate situation. Right? I'm sick. I want to be healthy. I don't have enough money. I need some wealth. I don't have what I want physically in front of me. So God, you need to provide that. I'm not that great of a father to my children, so God, you need to fix that for me. Instant gratification, Band-Aid type fixes, right? Anybody pray those? Yeah. And I preached years ago, it was interesting, Louise brought it up, and I couldn't find it because I don't really keep my teachings at all. I just throw them away because I figure they are God's words for that specific time. And I don't want to be one of those pastors that just mails it in, all right? Not saying those that keep them do. But she talked about this prayer teaching that I did in Sweet 107 days years ago. And it was how prayer changes us, or should change us. When we're conversing with the Holy Spirit, we should be having the things in mind that the Holy Spirit has in mind. Our hearts should start beating in time with God's. As we pray, the things that are important to Him, not just to us. But as I'm finding as I'm getting older, and I'm finding as I've tried a bunch of other ways in doing life, I'm finding that really the only thing that is important is His way of doing things. So the more I pray, the more I've got to start matching that life up, that inner life, the things that are inside, the things that I should be passionate about with how I'm speaking directly with Him, with how I'm conversing with Him. Jesus wasn't wrong in His prayer at all when He said, this is how you should pray. It put all the responsibility on the Father. Forgive us as we forgive. God, you be our provision. God, you are holy. It puts things in its proper place. So my prayer for us in 2019, as we see how our light is spent and see how our prayer lines up or doesn't line up, is that we'll continue to put these things under a microscope. One of the things I'm really terrible at is writing down things or writing things down. That's probably why I'm terrible at writing down things. Right? I went to a friend of mine's house the other morning for coffee, and it was amazing. He had notebooks filled with prayer that he wrote. And I marveled at this, and I questioned him, and he said, it's not a holy thing at all. It's because I am so ADD. That the only way for me to focus in prayer is to write as I pray. It keeps me in the moment. It keeps my head there. And I marveled at this because I've been often told by my spiritual giants, or who I consider spiritual giants that are in my world, you need to start writing your prayers down. So you can go look back at what you've been praying and see what's actually come to fruition or not come to fruition, or to see if you've been praying the same thing a year later and not getting the answer you want, right? Or hope for, or think you need. And so I think maybe that's a good challenge for us this morning. When we pray, let's start writing this stuff down. I'm not talking about mealtime prayers. I'm not talking about just spur of the moment. I'm talking about when you're in deep with God. Write down what's on your heart as you're conversing with God. And I'm going to try to do the same, and I need you to hold me accountable, all right? Because I think this will help us gauge. Anytime we counsel people for financial spending and financial needs, we ask them to do a spending diary, which means you take all the receipts, everything that you've spent, every penny you've spent throughout the month or 2 months, and you write it down. Because that way you're going to see everywhere your money's going. And I think some of these prayers can be the same way, right? We just throw them up and hope something sticks. Well, maybe if we start writing this stuff down and we start looking and seeing the disparity in our prayers or where our prayers are actually lining up with Scripture and the Holy Spirit, I think it'll start changing our hearts like I taught so many years ago. Prayer changes us. It helps our heart beat in time with God's. So if you're willing to take up that challenge, and I pray you are, because I'm going to try. Try meaning I will fail, and I'll get back up again, and we'll keep going together, all right? Let's see what God's going to do in 2019 with how we regard Him when we speak to Him, with how we regard our neighbors when we start seeing them differently, as this prayer life begins to change us from the inside out. As we see God differently, as we see Him actually as master of our lives, maybe some of you aren't there yet. That's okay. You in? These are some of the God dreams that we have. These are some of the boots on the ground, practical ways in how we all get out of the boat. In this spiritual formation process that will in turn make us leaders in our worlds, in our homes, in our church, in our neighborhoods, to lead people to Jesus, the most important thing of all. God, thank you for this time together. God, thank you for how you speak into our worlds. God, may our prayers reflect your heart. May our prayers reflect more than just ourselves. May our prayers reflect the needs of our neighbors. The needs of our community. The needs of our city. The needs of our husbands and wives and children and family members. God, grow us in this area. God, for those of us that are taking this challenge to actually write these prayers down, to see where you're moving, to see what we are praying, to see how we're praying, God, thank you for those people. For those of us that are still on the fence, God, I trust you're still working, and I trust you're still doing what you need to do, and you are still on your throne. Yeah. God, bring us to a saving knowledge of you that is reflected in every action that we do from this moment forward. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen.